कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज विहारी
जय गोबी जनवन
jaya Yamuna Tiramana Chari jaya Kunj Bihari Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Lakshman Jayati Varam Lakshman Hanuman Jayati Varam Lakshman Hanuman Jayati Varam Lakshman Hanuman Jayati Varam Lakshman Jay Gauranita, Jay Gauranita, Gauranita, Jay Gauranita. Jay Gauranita, 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 Jay Gauranita. Jaya Prabhu Bada, Jaya Prabhu Bada, Prabhu Bada, Jaya Prabhu Bada. Jaya Prabhu Bada, Jaya Prabhu Bada, Prabhu Bada, Jaya Prabhu Bada.
భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి ఆనంద కోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గౌ గోవినాథ శ్యామ గుండరామకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద సాయి భూతలే భక్తి విధానంద స్వామి నామే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం పుజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవారి పాశాఖ్యేశారిణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ్య గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాల్ శ్రీమల్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవాం భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరదస్ చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మహృద ആദികവയെ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ തേജോ പരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാം സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിതഗൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സതാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയാ തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനിന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിം കനികാഭി കാഭികാഭി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷാ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാധീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവീ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വീണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ സോ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദിസ് ഷോർട്ട് ബ്രേക്ക് ഫ്രം ഭാഗവതം ഫോർ ദി ലാസ്റ്റ് 4 or 5 weeks I was thinking that we should get back to Srimad Bhagavatam as quickly as possible because the our experience is in this world that the time is so limited and also Krishna gives sometimes an opportunity to glorify him to the devotees and in association of devotees talking from Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a process which has been approved and accepted by all the acharyas in all the traditions. Particularly, Sukadeva Goswami, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, mentions this when Parikshit Maharaj asks in the second canto, what should one do at the time of death? Because that is the only reality and the certainty in life, that which is waiting at the doorstep of every one of us. So, in that situation, what should one do? When Parikshit Maharaj asked this question to Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Shukan answered thus in the most most precise and at the same time the most in a not only precise manner but also in the most concise way he answered this question. What did he say? He said that Shrodavya Kirti Davyascha Smartavyascha Chadavayam. Shravanam means Shrodavyam, Kirtidam means glorification, and Smaranam means remembering. These are the three things. The Srimad Bhagavatam is centered around in these three things. Shrodavya Kirti Davyascha. That Parikshit Maharaj asked the question again, what should I do? He said, Shrodavya Kirti Davyascha Smartavyascha Chadavayam. These three things should go on simultaneously. Shrodavyam, glorification, kirtidavyascha, and smartavyam, and smaranam, smaranam of Krishna. This is three things that Srimad Bhagavatam brings to us in the most appetizing manner, in the most, the best possible manner, that Krishna is brought to us by Srimad Bhagavatam, for these three things can be done at the same time. That is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. Three things can happen at the same time. Unlike any other process, whatever you do, the rest of the things, nothing can do what Bhagavatam can do in this way. It can make you speak, it can make you remember at the same time, and it can also hear. Shodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyam. So three things at the same time is happening to this material mind, and material mind gets purified in that process. So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken. But today, because I was away for a few weeks, and I had the opportunity to visit some of these places associated with Srimad Bhagavatam. All these things what he mentions in the Bhagavatam are facts. And they are not something which has been concocted as stories. And if somebody has some doubts about it, they have an opportunity. It is not that I had the doubt that whether it is true or not. But why I went to see these places was that this culture of Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been in the Vedic society for so long, and today which Prabhupada has brought out from that treasure to the whole world, opened up that treasure of Srimad Bhagavatam, and which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his travels relished and preached so vigorously throughout the Bharatavarsham for the benefit of the people, which Srila Prabhupada brought to everybody so that they may understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam as he mentions in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, and take the benefit and derive the benefit from that and return back home, back to Krishna. So such a beautiful process as the process of Srimad Bhagavatam, which traditionally so many acharyas have touched and glorified and preached throughout the world in different ways and different times, that Srimad Bhagavatam is dear to you, not only from the literature or the pastimes of Krishna, but even from the historical point of view, it becomes a process of a thoughtful process that relishes and helps in the process of Krishna consciousness. So in that way, I had the opportunity to go to a few places in the last 4 weeks, which I thought I will just briefly go through, and at the same time and discuss some of the things what I understood and what I thought in my mind is important for myself. I felt important, perhaps it may find interesting to you also. So it was in that thought that I thought that I would talk about the temples I visited and their significance to some extent, what I know about it. And to a large extent, they are in the in the books. And so those who are enthusiastic or keen to know more about it, or those who want to know more about it, are in a position to go and visit these places. Primarily, my first interest was that in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, we have so many places mentioned of Mahaprabhu's travels. And of all those places, you will see that Mahaprabhu took special effort to visit some of these temples where the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been worshipped for thousands and thousands of years. And not only they were worshipped, and the process of worship and the great, great devotees who spend their time in those places, their discussions of the Shastram, and their discussions of the beautiful, the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, obviously has pleased Mahaprabhu. If it was not the case, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have spent so much time in these places. That's obvious. Anybody can understand. A sannyasi in the renounced order of life who has given up apart from the fact that he is Krishna himself, even looking at Mahaprabhu as from a mundane point of view, as a sannyasi who has given up attachment to this material world and who has constantly preached the holy name and Chaitanya Krishna's pastimes in this world, has spent time in these places, sometimes weeks and sometimes months. So from this it's obvious that Mahaprabhu attached special significance to these places. And one of them is, foremost and came to my mind, is the place of Adikeshava temple in Tiruvatar. Tiruvatar is a place about 30 kilometers south of Tiruvananthapuram, the capital of the state of Kerala. And in Tiruvatar, if you travel from Tiruvananthapuram to Kanyakumari, that is where this temple is a little bit off the main road from the main highway. It's about 20 miles or something away from the main road. Tiruvatar Adikeshava temple is situated. This Adikeshava temple, the name as it mentions there, is the main deity is Adikeshava, who is the form of Vishnu present in the spiritual world. And this is exactly the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took up this Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita, which became an authenticated, authoritative literature of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. Mahaprabhu copied it from this temple in Tiruvatar. So that makes it significant, one, number one. Otherwise, Brahma Samhita would not have come out in this world like so many other Vedic literature, which is lying in the great libraries of these great mutts, which is never revealed into this world. But today, every day in every temple in Ishkon, at least in the morning, two of the verses from Brahma Samhita is recited as a mark of the importance given to Brahma Samhita. Not only that, Brahma Samhita, the way compiled Brahma Samhita has been compiled, and Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna through Brahma Samhita, Mahaprabhu has established that principle through the principle of Achindya Bhedavaya Tattvam for us to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Mahaprabhu recited this verse from the Brahma Samhita for our understanding of the position of, if somebody has any doubt, who is Krishna, who is not satisfied. Edeja Amshagala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Vedavyasa Maharshi has already mentioned in the Bhagavadam, who is Krishna. Edeja Amshagala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. In the first canto, you will see that various incarnations Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions there. That Amshavadaram, Kalavadaram, Gunavadaram, Leelavadaram, this avadaram, that avadaram, so many avadarams are mentioned. So to alleviate any doubt in the mind of the person, Vedavyasa Maharshi very clearly mentions there, Edeja Amshakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is not, he says there, Krishna, don't misunderstand that. Krishna is one like that, one of those avadaram. Krishna is the Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. He is the Supreme Personality of God himself. So he established that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, if anybody has still doubts, Mahaprabhu thought that he will take that from Brahma Samhita and says, Sarvakarana Karanam Ishvara Parama Krishna സച്ചിദാനന്ദ വിഗ്രഹ അനാദിർ ആദിർ ഗോവിന്ദ സർവകാരണകാരണം. സർവകാരണകാരണം, കോസ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ കോസസ് ഈസ് കൃഷ്ണൻ, ആൻഡ് ഹീസ് ദ സുപ്രീം പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി. സോ ഓൺ ദിസ് ലൈൻസ് മഹാപ്രഭു ഹാഡ് സ്പെൻഡ് ടൈം ഇൻ ആദികേശവ ടെമ്പിൾ ഇൻ തിരുവട്ടാർ. സോ ദിസ് തിരുവട്ടാർ ടെമ്പിൾ is supposed to be the eldest brother of three temples. You will see in Chaitanya Charitamrita three temples mentioned there. Adigeshwara temple at Tiruvattur, Padmanabha Swami's temple in Thiruvananthapuram, and Janardana Swami in Varkala. These are three temples Mahaprabhu visited the on his trip, on his travels. And they are considered to be three brothers. Although they are Krishna himself, the eldest is considered to be Adigeshwara. The middle brother is Padmanabha, and the youngest one is Janardana. And all these three temples were built thousands and thousands of years ago. They're existing there today. One can go and see the way they were constructed and built, and the amount of effort that has been put into building those temples. Fortunately, at the time when they were built, after that, it has been handed over from one king to another. Different dynasties of rulers who ruled that part of the world, they took possession of this temple. In the recent times, the royal family in Thiruvananthapuram, they owned all these temples. So when the royal family owned them, because they had more commitment than the modern democratic governments had for the temples, the royal family spent time and energy in maintaining these temples. And not only that, they made sure that the temples had sufficient income to maintain those temples and the devotees who visited the temple. But today, if you go and if you see the condition of these temples, you will be absolutely amazed that things can deteriorate to such an extent that, like everywhere else, because of the materialistic consciousness increases among the population, the result is that these properties or these assets, what has been handed down to us by the great sages and the great devotees, live in a neglected condition. They have not been attended. In fact, in Adigeshwara temple, which I went and saw, the Tiruvattur, you will be amazed that the land alone, it takes about 8 acres of buildings. That is how the temple takes the space. Massive corridors running into 5,000 to 10,000 people could be fed at the same time. So obviously from this you can see that at one time, these temples, that was the amount of people who used to come to the temple. Otherwise, why did they have to build such massive places for feeding prasadam? So it is clear that when the temples were built, there were visitors also to these temples who were fed by the temple. 5,000 to 10,000 at one stretch in one lot. And that, like that, 3 times or 4 times in a day, they were able to feed them. So generally in the Shastram you will find that normally for any welfare, any temple to flourish and to become strongly embedded in the consciousness of the devotees, there are a few things required. And these things will contribute to the strengthening of the temple's existence. Basically they are, one of them is composed to be the distribution of prasadam. Prasadam in the temple, distribution of prasadam in the temple is considered to be one of the most important functions of a temple. Particularly when devotees, anyone who comes to the temple, he should be fed with prasadam. And because prasadam is one means through which Krishna consciousness enters into the conditioned soul, conditioned person's heart. Therefore, prasadam is important. Secondly, chanting of the holy name. Chanting of the holy name is considered one of the most important things, that as long as devotees chant the holy name of Krishna at the temple, sincerely and serving Krishna, that is one of the reasons why Krishna will stay in that temple and please the devotees and respond to the prayers from the devotees. So these things are written in the Shastram. These are various things mentioned, but particularly 5 important things mentioned is, one is annadanam, that is offering prasadam to the visitors or to the devotees who come to the temple. Secondly, chanting of the holy name. Thirdly, those personalities who conduct the worship at the temple or who manage the administration of the temple, they have to have that kind of sadhana in their own life. Because if that is not there, if they do not execute or if they do not perform the kind of austerities and penances required, that will have a reflection on the temple's progress also. It will have an impact on the temple's progress. It is not that it is a job that has been done as a routine like any other job. The commitment from those personality who are actually engaged in the service of Krishna, directly or indirectly, in the temple, has to have that conviction in their mind that their service is that what is sustaining that temple and sustaining that's encouraging Krishna to stay in the temple and also respond to the devotees' desires or problems or whatever they may have. They come to Krishna for their help. So all these things, the acharyas, they are known as the acharyas, austerities and penances, offering prasadam to the devotees or the visitors to the temple, then chanting the holy name. Then more than that, also another important thing is that the festivals at the temple. If the festivals are celebrated properly to please Krishna, in a way that it gives pleasure to the devotees and encourages devotees to participate in those various festivals at the temple, just like Janmashtami, Ramanavami, Gaurapurnima, and so many other things all related to temple. They all have to be performed properly to the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is one of the other requirements of the temple. And like this, various things mentioned in the Shastram. So it looks that Tiruvatar Adhikeshwara temple also had a time when these things were performed properly. But in due course, when things start turning in the wrong direction, the management changes, management takes wrong decisions, management goes in the wrong direction, people lose interest in the deity worship. People lose faith in the deity. And staying near the temple, less than 10 minutes walk, you don't even visit Krishna at the temple. That situation can happen in life. This is what we have to remember. From this, many, many lessons to be learned. That you may spend a lot of your energy throughout life to build magnificent temples. But at the end, if the devotee's consciousness is not building up along with that to build the temple, and if the devotee's consciousness is not progressing, if you are not able to take devotees on board with you, what use is there? The temples will stand like that, Tiruvatar, Adhikeshwar today. So many other temples are standing there. Hundreds and hundreds of them are standing there in the same situation. The amount of work involved in building a temple like that in the modern times is beyond our understanding. That is the amount of energy that's been spent on that. And built by the kings. Why? Because they had all the resources. Although there were not forklifts and facilities like that, they used the elephants. Thousands of elephants were used in building that temple. This is how they were built. And today if you go, you see corridors running into hundreds and hundreds of meters just lying vacant there with cobwebs and spiders and this, that and the other hanging on there. No one has time. And the pujari is struggling in the morning to come because he's alone. One person has to run this temple, assisted by two or three ladies who are just coming up to clean up the place and collect the flowers for him to worship. And he does a very, very minimum worship in the morning. Because due to the change of time, this temple had so much assets. Hundreds and hundreds of acres of land were given to this temple by the kings those days so that at no time the temple should suffer for want of money, worship should come to a problem. This was their good thoughts of these great personalities had in their mind. But today, due to changed times, due to democratization of the process, and the temples have gone into the hands of the government, and the result that people who are supposed to run these temples in an efficient, effective way, they have lost interest. They were trying to realize that they could make some profit out of it. So the material consciousness came in. Why? Because they were not devotees. They were not devotees who went along with the temple. This was the only lesson I could learn from that. That you can build big, big temples. But at the end, if there are no devotees with that, along with that, who will serve Krishna, who has that same feeling, attachment for the Supreme Lord, those temples will in due course deteriorate and go back into another tourist attraction. And that's what's happened. That this will become a tourist attraction. This is what will happen. So this is why important that along with us practicing Krishna consciousness, it is so important to develop that Krishna consciousness among the next generation also, among the children. If they do not take to it, who will manage these big, big institutions? What's the point in building a big temple if there is no future generation to develop that attachment for Krishna? So apart from this, Adikeshava temple in Tiruvatar, similarly, it's not much different the story in Padmanabhaswamy. Padmanabhaswamy temple, although in size, much, much bigger than Adikeshava. And the deity there, still people are visiting there. The royal family members come every day. They have their traditional worship at the temple. And similarly, a lot of festivals are celebrated. But because the population, the general population has not shown enough enthusiasm, nor they have the time for that, faith has been disturbed so badly by the advancement of this modern civilization that they find it very hard to take to this process of serving Krishna at the temple. And we are now trying to build more and more new temples. And we are trying to think that all these temples have to be maintained. Otherwise, if it is only for one generation, it is rather better to sit down and chant Hare Krishna rather than build all these big, big temples and in the next generation it's gone. It's lying there like idle, unattended by people. So whether it is Adikeshava temple, Padmanabhaswamy temple, or Janardana temple in Varkala, all three has going through the same situation. This is what I have observed from visiting these three places. There are difference of about 100 miles between each of these temples. Massive temples built over 8 to 10 acres of land with loads of property supported, provided by the kings for maintaining these temples. But due to mismanagement, due to lack of attention from the devotees and lack of interest from the public, they have gone into this difficult state of affairs. That is one thing, one side of it. Apart from that, the second thing, the interest in this was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to these temples was so important that Mahaprabhu found some valuable treasure, Brahma Samhita there, spent time with Janardana's and the Padmanabhas and the Adikeshava's temples, a lot of time. So obviously Mahaprabhu had the mood of seeing the deities at these temples and offering respects to them as a sannyasi will do. In the olden days, the system was, in the modern days, all this has gone away from the culture has changed so much. When the sannyasis visit temples, especially big temples, when sannyasis come to see the deity, they will first inform the deity that he wants to pay his obeisances to the deity. They could speak to the deity like that. And deities will respond also to them properly. This is, I'm not talking about not modern sannyasis, I'm talking about the sannyasis of those days, glorious days, when they had that relationship with the deity. This relationship is an important thing. Why I'm saying this is that we, in our premature days or the early days in spiritual life, we have not developed any relationship with Krishna yet. At the moment, we have been given some understanding that Krishna consciousness is important in life. And we also, by reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, we have some desire to develop spiritual life. That is why we have come to take to this process of chanting the holy name. But in the Vedic times, when Krishna consciousness was very prominent, and when Varnashrama Dharma simultaneously existed in the society, the system was that the sannyasis had the opportunity to go and visit many, many temples, and generally the deities will welcome the sannyasis specifically due to their special position as the advanced souls who have given up everything for the service of Krishna. So, in one of these instances, particularly we find that there are so many incidents attached to it. Mahaprabhu, you can very well imagine, as a sannyasi and Krishna himself, what sort of thoughts would have gone through Mahaprabhu's mind when Mahaprabhu went to Adikeshava's temple or to Padmanabha's temple or to Janardana Swami's temple. Same thoughts must have gone through Mahaprabhu's heart as well. apart from these three, you will see that I had also had an opportunity to go some of the temples related to Mahabharata. In Mahabharata times, many things you read in the Mahabharata. And often, you don't get an opportunity to see these places. Where are they? And what was they? How do we know where these things have happened there? But there are scholars, there are devotees who have spent their time and energy in analyzing this and understanding it, where they existed. And it is through their convictions and their studies and realization. Like, for example, Krishna's different places of pastimes in Vrindavan was unknown to us for many, many years. And in the course of time, Sarvam Kalagradam Manye, Bhagavadam says like that, isn't it? When Bhishma Vidamaha was questioned, Bhishma Vidamaha was talking to Maharaj Yudhishthira, why Yudhishthira Maharaj had to go through all these turmoils in life and difficulties in life. Bhishma had only one answer. He says, Sarvam Kalagradam Manye, Kalam, time is the factor, time is behind everything. Two things in this world are controlling us in a very, very subtle way, but in a very powerful way. One is time and the other one is karma. Karma and kalam. That is why, very, very subtle though, at the same time very powerful as well. This is the beauty of these two things, kalam and karma. So generally, people have the impression that I will live forever. This is the hope we all have. We'll be like this, strong, stout, and willing to do what I want to do. I'll get all my projects completed in this world. It is with this hope we are going day after day. As soon as morning gets up from the bed, the thought starts coming. What's the next thing to do in this day? And the planning goes on, and people keep diaries, calculators, and modern Casio things and everything so that they can plan their day nicely. This is the intention behind it. But all this planning has no meaning at the end. Why? Behind it is Krishna in the form of kalam, time. So Krishna is controlling us in a remotely so nicely, much better than a Casio programmer or our daily program, whatever it is. So Krishna is through kalam and karmam, Krishna controls us nicely. So, but in the middle of all these things, we still have to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. That is our desire and our plan also. So with that in the background, we see from Mahabharata that Krishna has been always encouraging his devotees to develop Krishna consciousness. When Uddhava asked Krishna, what is the most important thing or most auspicious thing one could do in life, Krishna's answer to Uddhava was that different acharya says different things. Some acharya says that charity is the most important thing, because a lot of people, as you know, in this world give importance to charity, isn't it? Charity is considered to be most important for many, many people. For charity, even some people make a lot of money. And through different charitable organizations, all over the world, people give charity. Why? Because they know that the wealth has come to them not purely by their own effort. That they are aware of that. Especially in the modern times, it's much more complicated, because the acquiring wealth through false and unauthorized way is a way which is more prevalent in the modern world. Starting from Ajamila, this has been going on. If you see Ajamila's story in the sixth canto, you will see there, Ajamila has been following a process. Bhagavatam specifically mentions what all he did. Looting and dacoity and thieving from the government. Ajamila did it in one way. Modern businessmen or administrators or whatever, whomever you call, do it in a different way. It's all done in so subtle way. At the end of the day, in principle, it is essentially the same. It's not much different. So when it is all done like that, and when you have a lifestyle in this world by this process to accumulate or amass wealth in this world, naturally, from inside, super soul will tell you, share something with me. Share something with me. This is unavoidable. From inside, some thoughts will come like that. So people obviously donate money to charity, give money for different purposes, this, that and the other. So charity, Krishna said to Uddhava, charity is an important thing. If you do charity, Acharya says it's important. But then some Acharya says, charity is not everything. There is also cultivation of spiritual knowledge. That's very important. Jnanam is important. And then Uddhava asked Krishna, what else is important? Krishna said that some people say it is not charity, it is not knowledge, but tapasya, austerities and penances. If you execute austerities and penances, that will bring you the results. Look at all the great sages who have performed so much austerities and penances in the forest and see what level they have reached in their life. Uddhava said, fine, what else? He said to Krishna. Krishna said, beyond than this, there are other acharyas who will teach in this world other things also, he said. Uddhava said, what else? He said, Krishna says, that sandishrayamsi bhuyamsi abhiruji vidaya karmidam nirmidani. That what else do they say? According to the desire of the disciple, according to the desire of the personality, of the devotee, or the aspirant, or the person who is looking for a goal of life, different acharyas will set forth different goals. Uddhava said at that time to Krishna, that, my dear Krishna, I am not asking you what other acharyas have said. I want to know from you what you think is important in life. This was Uddhava's answer to Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while Krishna was discussing with Uddhava these things, Uddhava was preparing himself to go back to the spiritual world. That is what you have to remember. He was not in a situation like you or me, where we have still in a doubt whether should I chant 16 or should I chant 12 or should I chant 4 or should one will do. This is our position. Here, Uddhava's position is not like that. 112 years of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. 112 years hearing from a personality who gave Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam to this world. It is from whose association Uddhava had. Excuse me. Uddhava had every right to ask this question to Krishna. You and me may not have asked that question to Krishna, even if Krishna has told us these things. But Uddhava was forthright and straight in asking this question to Krishna. I do not want to hear anything what others have told. I just want to hear from you, in your opinion, what is the most auspicious thing. Krishna, it was at that moment, Krishna became totally excited. Bhagavatam says, doesn't say exactly that Krishna got excited. Krishna never gets excited. Krishna has, throughout Mahabharata if you read, because Mahabharata is nothing but Krishna in another form. The difference is that in Mahabharata portrays Krishna the personality in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam presents Krishna's other aspect of spiritual side of Krishna, much more deeper than in the Mahabharata, for the devotees to understand Krishna. So there is a slight difference between Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. But in this Mahabharata, right from beginning to end, there is one personality who is always coming in and out. That is Krishna. Nobody else. It's centered around Krishna. In spite of that, Vedavyasa Maharshi did not name Mahabharata as anything related to Krishna. Why? That's the question that automatically comes. If it is so much, Krishna is everything important. Reason for that is, Mahabharata is called, another word is Jayam. In other words, what is not in the Mahabharata, as they say, that's not there anywhere else. Everything is there in such an extent in Mahabharata. And Vedavyasa Maharshi, through Mahabharatam, wanted to tell this world that I have put every dharma, Stri dharmam, Purusha dharmam, Brahmana dharmam, Kshatriya dharmam, Vaishya dharmam, Shudra dharmam, Raja dharmam, Praja dharmam, anything related to dharma, whatever you can think of, everything is in the Mahabharata. Vedavyasa Maharshi has put that. And then, all through this personality, Krishna is coming in there. And Vedavyasa Maharshi thought, Let thoughtful people study Mahabharatam and from there let them get the essence, what Mahabharatam is all talking about. So that is the nature of the great authors. Great literature is written like that. They will leave it to the readers to think and analyze and come to the conclusions what they feel is right. So like that Mahabharatam was compiled. So in Mahabharatam, Krishna is everywhere. But when Uddhava asks these questions to, and you don't find anywhere Krishna getting emotional or anywhere out of unusual way acting. Everywhere that person with the highest knowledge, highest realization, and in control of all the situations all the time. That's what you find in the Mahabharata with Krishna. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find some differences. What's the difference? Difference is, when you see in the 14th chapter of the Ekadasha Skandam, if you take it and read it carefully, you will see there, when it comes to devotional service to Krishna, Krishna's whole feelings changes there. There he says to Uddhava, "My dear Uddhava, there is nothing higher than this one thing." What is that? Cultivating Krishna consciousness, loving Krishna if one has had the good fortune in his short lifetime to develop that consciousness by which one is able to love Krishna in the most unreservedly, without anything expecting results in return, Krishna considers that as the highest success in spiritual life. This is Krishna's conclusion. Krishna said this to Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is why, in spite of all other calculations, this one message is coming through Srimad Bhagavatam again and again and again. You don't have to go very far to check this out in the Bhagavatam. In the beginning, in the end, in the middle, everywhere, it is the same message. How to develop this attachment for Krishna without anything in return. And Uddhava asked Krishna, that is there anybody who had done like this, the way you have spoken about developing attachment? Krishna recognized Uddhava from the very beginning as the Brahmanyanam balistvam kratushujajabayajnyosi vireshu partho bhaktanam uddhavastvam balamasi balinam bhaktanam uddhavastvam. That among the bhaktas, devotees, I am Uddhava, Krishna says. So if Krishna has recognized you, then you don't need a certificate from somebody else, whether you are a devotee or not. Up to that point, you need everybody else's certificate. Though he is bona fide, he is not bona fide, all these kind of things, we can go and talk about it. But when Krishna recognizes, then you don't need any more certificate from anybody. And Uddhava had that with him. That bhaktanam uddhavastvam. That Uddhava, you see, you are my devotee, Krishna said. And it is that Uddhava is asking Krishna, that give me an example of the kind of situation what you have now spoken to me. This is what Uddhava said to Krishna. It is in relationship to that Krishna gave the answer of the referring to the gopis at that time. In the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, these things are spoken sometimes straight and sometimes in a very subtle way also. And those scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam who have dug Bhagavatam through their mind and intelligence and days and nights, they have got these conclusions from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Their conclusion was this, that while living in this material world, while acting in the normal way, all of us, most of us, in majority of cases, we are not sannyasis, we are not brahmacharis, we have our houses, families, old parents at home to be looked after, young children to be attended to. We are very much in the middle of all this complicated householder life. And right in the middle of that, we have to develop spiritual life. And this is what the question Uddhava had for Krishna. And to illustrate that, Krishna says to Uddhava that where you are, in what situation you are, is not an impediment in developing that devotion to me. This was Krishna's answer. So to illustrate that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the important message given there is that the Srimad Bhagavatam speak the devotion of those devotees who had never took any effort, who had never had an opportunity to study any of the Vedas. They never had an opportunity. They never had an opportunity to study any of the Upanishads. These are the higher levels in the Vedic tradition for the Brahmanas and for the scholars to study and analyze and think and culture their spiritual life. Vedas generally instruct direct things. So therefore, it is difficult for ordinary people to understand. Therefore, the higher intellectual classes follow the Vedic injunctions. The Puranas instruct in a way that in a friendly way they instruct, so it make it easier for us to follow them. That is why Puranas are much more influential in the human society. Thirdly, then there is Kavyams. Kavyams means itihasas like Mahabharatam and Ramayanam. They instruct in a still different way. How do they instruct? They instruct, they say, example is given, just like a wife instructs the husband. When the wife instructs the husband, there is always the intention of bringing a good result from that. But at the same time, she won't speak all the time in a pleasant way, sometimes in a critical mood as well. But the intentions are good, that somehow or the other her husband should be happy and achieve a happy life in this world, in spiritual life also. So that is how Ramayanam and Mahabharatam is structured. For example, if you read Ramayanam, you will find that through Mandodari was Ravana's wife. Now, Mandodari told Ravana not to go for stealing Sita Devi. You can see that. Ravana has been told by Mandodari. But did Ravana care? Ravana wouldn't care. Ravana carried on with his own plans. But as much as at the last days of the war, when Ravana came to his senses, little by little, ultimately, like us, Ravana also came to his senses one day. That when Ravana came to his senses, Ravana started consulting Mandodari. There is in the Ramayana, Valmiki discusses all these things nicely in the Ramayana. Valmiki, Ravana turned towards Mandodari. You know, when everything problem starts, one turns to his own wife to discuss sometimes. That also happens in this world. So Ravana turned to Mandodari, and Mandodari asked a direct question to Ravana at that time. I told you not to go for these kind of things from the very beginning. But why this thought not develop in the beginning itself? At this point in time, after you have done everything to Sita Devi, in fact, Ravana tried to kill Sita Devi at one point. It was Mandodari who prevented Ravana from doing that. So you can see there what a nice personality Mandodari was. In spite of the fact that she was born in a family of Rakshasa, that is another matter. Important thing is that consciousness and that thought behind it. Therefore, among the five major personalities in the Puranas, Mandodari has also been given a place. Apart from Sita Devi, Draupadi, Ahalya, and Mandodari has been given a place with them because of her behavior towards Ravana. That shows the point that no matter in what circumstances you are born, in what conditions you are born, that's not the important thing. Important thing is this right consciousness of the Mandodari had in that time. So Puranas instructs us in this way through Mandodari. That is what is teaching us. So in a way, like the wife is instructing the husband, that's how Kavyams are formed. So Vedas instruct one way, Puranas instructs another way, the Kavyams or the Dihasas, they instruct in a different way. So whatever that is, in Mahabharatam and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has spoken various things, but Krishna had only one thing to say. Ultimately, there was only one thing what Krishna has spoken. And that was only one message. It has been coming through Srimad Bhagavatam very, very strongly. So, in the, as you remember, that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we would not have so much time to go this in detail, but in general, in a very, very nutshell, Krishna at one instance told, because of this great solar eclipse which happened in Samanta Panchakam, that is in modern Kurukshetram it's called, there Krishna invited everybody to come for that solar eclipse. From all over Bharatavarsham, people went for that solar eclipse. Srimad Bhagavatam states like that. People who went from all over, they were there. Why? Basically because Krishna was present there. It was an opportunity for them to see Krishna there. So, in that great festival, Krishna arranged everything in such a way that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were taken and were asked to stay with Vasudeva and Devaki. So they had an opportunity to discuss and meet with each other. Similarly, all his friends from Vrindavan who had come for this festival with Nanda Maharaj, other cowherd men, Krishna has taken them separately and given them special facilities and told them to live with his guests from Dwaraka. So that's how they were together, brought together. All Krishna's wives, they all met with each other. You can see in the Bhagavatam that discussion is also there. Draupadi and the women who came from Hastinapur, Pandava's wives, they were all there. All of them, together with Rukmini, Satyabhama, and all the other Krishna's wives, 16,100 wives, they were all there. So they were all put together, so they could discuss also. As women have so many things to talk, discuss, they let them discuss that also. Only Krishna did one thing. Krishna did not allow the gopis to go and stay with any of these groups. Rather, Krishna took them away to a solitary place. And in that solitary place, Krishna expanded himself into the number of gopis who were present there at that time. And by now, these gopis who have come from Vrindavan, in his childhood, when Krishna was a little boy, these gopis have little old, some of them were older than Krishna, some of them were Krishna's age. But when Krishna was a little baby, most of them had played with Krishna in Vrindavanam and Gokulam before in his baby days or in his early childhood days. So from then on, this relationship has started with Krishna and the gopis. So these gopis have now grown up. They are not anymore young, like Krishna has grown up. So they have also grown up and they have gone much older. But the thoughts of Krishna has not left them. That Krishna didn't spend a very long time in Vrindavan. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see. By the age of 12, Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. After that, there is no reference to Krishna going back to Vrindavan again. In the Srimad Bhagavatam anyway, there is no reference. But probably in other Puranas or other reports you may find, there is reference to it, Krishna again going back. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not mentioned anywhere. So, this was a meeting that was happening after such a long time. Both sides have grown up a lot. Krishna has grown up and the gopis have also grown up quite a lot. Now, you would have thought, when they have met with each other, what would they have discussed? Normally, what would you have discussed? What would we discuss when you see an old friend after a long time? You will tell all your distresses to him, what you have gone through after you finished with him, and he will tell you all his distress, what he has gone through. And then, eventually, what can you do? This is all life, isn't it? And then we will part again each other. This is normal dealings in this world. There is nothing much good to report anyway. This most of the report what people have is only the increasing distress day by day in household life or any life, whatever life it is. So that is normal. But gopis and Krishna's discussions were not like that. That's what's more interesting. So Sukadeva Goswami wanted to tell Parikshit Maharaj at this stage that what was that was keeping that gopis like that. Gopis said to Krishna that for each gopi, Krishna expanded himself and asked, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna promised gopis that he will come back to Vrindavan, When he went to Mathura, that was the promise he gave to the gopis, isn't it? And after some time, what did he do? He sent Uddhava to see the gopis and to console them. That was the intention of sending Uddhava there. Although Krishna had a hidden motif behind it. All the great authorities on Srimad Bhagavatam say that Krishna's intention of sending Uddhava to Vrindavanam was for let Uddhava understand the gopis' consciousness. Because in Krishna's estimation, nobody else could understand what is gopis' consciousness. Only Uddhava could understand. And that is precisely the reason why Uddhava was chosen to go to Vrindavan with the message from Krishna. So Uddhava goes there, and Uddhava had, you will, when we come to 10th canto, there's a detailed discussion. It is known as Uddhava Panjaratnam, the five verses which Uddhava spoke after seeing gopis, after seeing their consciousness, what Uddhava had to say. Uddhava was considered to be the most intelligent person among Krishna's camp. In the Bhagavadam, Sri Shukan says, what does he say? He says, Shishyo Brihaspade Sakshal Uddhavo Buddhi Sattamaha. Most intelligent among the men, Uddhava. And Krishna always considered like that. That's why Krishna sent him there. So this Uddhava, first of all, he saw this gopi's consciousness and he started paying his obeisances to them. Every day after day, he was paying obeisances to them. One evening he told Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda that I will not come back home today. Don't wait for me for the dinner, for prasadam. I will see the gopis and when I finish, I'll come back. So that was the evening when the gopis had this meeting with Uddhava. And it was after that meeting that Uddhava's words in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shukan has spoken in the most, what is known as the five valuable verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Begins with, Eda avaram tanivrudo bhuvigo bhavadhoho. It goes like that. But after that, all the end, Uddhava finished that, his prayers to gopis, saying like this. And that is this famous prayer, which we also recite in the beginning. Vande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhishnasha yasam harikatod gidam punadi bhunatrayam. What does it mean? Vande nanda vrajastrinam. These gopis of Vrajam, gopis of Nandamayaraj Vrajam. Padarenum abhishnasha. That I have no qualification, Uddhava says, to pay obeisances to them. I have no qualification. This is, who is saying this? Uddhava is saying this, who has been recognized by Krishna as the devotee, is saying this. Vande nanda vrajastrinam padarenum abhishnasha yasam harikadod gidam punati bhuvanatrayam. Why? Because these gopis did one thing in Vrindavanam. What did they do? Yasam harikadod gidam. Harikadod gidam. Krishna's pastimes, they have absorbed completely into their mind. And they sung those songs and glorified Krishna. And they did not miss out anything in their life. Punadi bhuvanatrayam. Bhuvanatrayam means the three worlds have been purified when the gopis glorify Krishna through these childhood pastimes which Krishna had with the gopis in Vrindavanam. So I pay my obeisances. He says, Vande nandavrajastrinam padarenum abhishnasha. I'm not paying obeisances to the gopis. I have no qualification. Let me pay my obeisances to a speck of dust from one of the feet of one of these gopis, even that I am not qualified to do. This was Uddhava's conclusion at that time. So now from this, what do we understand? That if Uddhava has to speak like this, what would have been? Only Uddhava could understand this. That is why Krishna sent Uddhava. People like us will think, oh, what's so big deal about this? We will think, what's these gopis, they are making such a big thing. Krishna spends so much time with them and All that, they say they are great devotees, are great devotees. They have not studied Bhagavad Gita. They didn't do anything. They didn't do this. This is all kinds of complicated things will go through our head. But here in the Bhagavadam, Krishna wanted to bring them their position and make us realize it. Therefore, Krishna said there that let me glorify them and make their position understand. So, when one-to-one they faced gopis, that he asked the gopis, do you have any more desire to be fulfilled? This was the question Krishna asked them at that time. Rasakrida lulita lalitam vishladhal keshavasham mandol bhinnam shramajalaganam lobhaniyam todangam karunyabdhe sagradabilivad Sangalinginam darshayeda premon madhal bhuvana madhana tulprayastvam vilebhum. When Vrindavanam Uddhava came back to Mathura, Gopi said to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, we have no other desire to do, but we had one thing lastly in our mind, still coming back again and again. What was that? Rasakrida lulita lalitam Vishwadhal Keshavasham. After the singing and dancing in the Rasa dance, Krishna's face was sweaty, and the sweats were coming from both sides, and the hair, which was so beautiful in the Bhagavad mentions, the sweat and the dust together, it was covering the face of Krishna. For hours and hours they were dancing together. The gopis and Krishna were dancing together. So Krishna looked more beautiful after when he started sweating and the dust was smeared on his face. That is why Gopi said to Uddhava, Rasakrida lulita lalitam Vishwadhal Keshavasham Mandol Bhinnam Shramajalaganam Lobhaniyam Todangam. That the hair was all dislocated everywhere. It was not, the peacock feather is gone, it's fallen away. Krishna was engaged in the transcendental pastimes with the gopis, and the result was that Mandol bhinnam shramajalaganam lobhaniyam todangam. Krishna was sweating all over, and the gopis, Krishna has embraced the gopis with that sweating body, everything. And gopis released that sweat by on Krishna's body so much. Gopis said to Uddhava, we would like to experience that once again. This was the message Uddhava was given by the gopis. So Uddhava properly conveyed this message to Krishna. This has happened when it was 12 or 13 years old. Now, this incident is happening in Samanta Panchakam, which is Kurukshetram today. How many years later? Since about 70 years or 80 years later, this is happening. And what Uddhava spoke at that time, Krishna has kept it in his mind. And keeping that in the mind, Krishna has reenacted or acted the whole thing again, danced with the gopis again with the equal enthusiasm as he did in Vrindavanam so many years ago. This is Krishna. You can imagine, if a devotee has a desire, and if his relationship with Krishna is maturing in due course, at no time, even if devotee has forgotten that desire, Krishna will remember that my devotee had that desire at that time, I have to fulfill that desire. This is Krishna. That Krishna wanted to make sure that such a desire gopis have spoken to me through Uddhava so many years ago, and that stayed in his mind. That is why he had to do the whole rasa dance again there. And after that, facing one to each other, Krishna asked the gopis, each one of them, that do you have anything else you expect from me? This was the question Krishna put forward to the gopis. From this you can see, if you have to ask a question to somebody like this, either you have to be dead sure that nothing else is to be done, isn't it? At least in Krishna's case, you can say like that. We in this material world, we will talk so many things. We will say, oh, do you want anything from me? But the question, moment you put some request, then you say, oh, I can't do that. This is what we are. So that is not like, Krishna is not like that. When Krishna is saying something, he means it. It's not like our so-called worldly formalities. That's not applicable to Krishna. When Krishna said this to Uddhava, to the gopis, he meant that. And Gopi's answer in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the one which one has to remember. And from that, you can understand what is the end of Krishna consciousness. What do we gain ultimately from this Krishna consciousness? That is what is that coming through that verse in the Bhagavadam. Gopi said to Krishna, who are we? We are ordinary people, like many in this world. We live in Gokul, in Vrindavanam. And we are the same people selling butter, cow, milk, cheese. Every day we sell them and we make our living through that. This is how we make our living in this world. And we have lived like this for so many years in this world. But what is it that was our good fortune? Our good fortune was that you came to us at a time in our life where we loved you with all our heart. We loved you. The result was that we loved you so much that after you didn't spend a long time with us. It's only 12 years Krishna was there. If you think about it in material calculations, 12 years is not a very long period. After 12 years you left us and went away. But the time you spend with us, just like, you know, in the modern days people say quality time, they say. So we have to laugh when they say the so-called quality time. They'll be doing all filthy things and they'll call it as quality time. We spend quality time with our children, they say. The rest of the time they'll be doing all quantity things. But Gopi's case is not like that. Gopi says to Krishna that when we had those 12 years has changed us. How did it change us? It changed us like this. And that is that verse says, Ahuschade nalina napapadaravindam yogeshwarai apivijindyam akadabodaihi samsara kupam patidotaranavalambam geham jushamabi manasi udiyal sadana. This one verse, if you understand, you will understand what is Krishna consciousness will end up with. That is the beauty of that verse. Ahuschade nalina napapadaravindam yogeshwarair apivijindyam akadabodaihi samsara kupam patidotaranavalambam geham jushamabi manasi udiyal sadana. Gopi's consciousness is reflected in that verse. What did they say to Krishna? They said that, my dear Krishna, they addressed him all together to him and told him that yogeshware abhivijindyam aghada bodehi. Who is after you? After Krishna, the yogis knew who is chasing Krishna. Who is chasing Krishna? Great, great yogis. They want Krishna, isn't it? That is why they, super soul, they are meditating this chakra, that chakra, and they are trying to do all kinds of sophisticated technology to get the soul, the mind absorbed in meditation, in dhyanam, in samadhi, remembering Krishna. That is the form they try to remember, isn't it? They tried very, very hard to remember that form. Who else? The great sages, they perform such austerities and penances in the forest. For what? Ultimately, Narada Muni also says in the Bhagavadam, that only for this one purpose, somehow or the other, to so that the lotus feet will come to their heart. This is what they are trying to do, isn't it? Yogishwarer abhivijindyam aghada bodehi. But what's our situation? The Gopi said to Krishna, what's our situation? Samsara kubam patito taranamalambam. Samsara kubam, we are in material life, very much in the material life. In other words, we have got our old people at home, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother. We have to look after them. And that's our duty. We are put into that situation. We are not yogis and sages who will go to the forest and meditate on you. But we have been told we have to look after the older people at home. They do it wholeheartedly. As a service, they have to do that. We have our grandparents' parents at home. We have our husbands to be looked after. They also need our service. We have children at home, or grandchildren at home. We have to care for them as well. This is our position. Is it not our own position? Think about it. Sometimes, when you analyze all these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can also see how much it relates with our own life. We are also entangled in all these things, in our own life, in this world. That is why it's important. It's no point in running after yogis and great sannyasis and sages.
that we can't be. That is only some people may go through that route. Let them go. But that does not mean that spiritual life is not possible. Samsara kupa vadito taranavalambam. That Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that Gopi said to Krishna that we have fallen into this condition. But keham jushamabi manasudiyal sadana. Gopi said to Krishna that all these things are going on at home, all these complicated situations. In the middle of that, whenever in all these circumstances, their only prayer to Krishna was that childhood you spend with us, those memories that keep coming back to us all the time, whether we want it or don't want it, as long as this memory keeps coming, smaranam of Krishna, memory of Krishna is coming into the heart, none of this material life or material problems can touch you. They will not affect you anymore. Because that is the nature of Krishna's activities. Krishna's pastimes in the Bhagavadam particularly is such that one who can remember and reflect and continuously pray to Krishna for them to appear. That is how gopis pray to Krishna. Geham jusham abhimana sudiyal sadanam. That just like sun, whether we like it or not, sun will rise in the morning. Suppose somebody don't like it, he wants to sleep a few more hours. He says to sun, don't rise for a few hours, hold on for a while. When I'm ready, you can come up. Does that happen? It doesn't happen. Similarly, if one don't want the sun to set, also it won't happen. Sun will do. That is, Krishna's setup is such that whether you like it or don't like it, it's a natural process. Sun will rise, sun will set. Sun will rise, sun will set. It will go on doing like that. So similarly, Gopi said to Krishna that this material life will come and waves after wave, distress will come one after the other. Because everybody else has only one story in this world. That is the story of distress, what he's going through. You can put it in any way you like it. That so-and-so is enjoying, so-and-so is having a great time, this and the other. But that's all just words. A person who is thoughtful and who can analyze life can see that material life, all that is bringing is waves of distress one after the other. Every day one smaller wave, another day bigger wave. That's all. And in that wave, we are just being tossed around day after day. That's what it is. Material life means. So Gopi said to Krishna that samsara kupa vadito taranavalambam, that we have fallen in these waves and we are being tossed around. But doesn't worry us. Why? If this sun is always rising in us, whether we want it or not, you should come up in our heart. In other words, Gopi's prayers were not for liberation. You don't see in the Bhagavatam anywhere. Even Kunti Devi, Draupadi and all the Pandavas, they went to Himalayas looking for going back to spiritual world. And you also see so many great sages going to Himalayas for going to the spiritual world. And going to the caves, performing meditations, this and the other. You don't see gopis have done anything like that, do you? You don't see anywhere gopis performed any such thing. But their prayer to Krishna was, Yeham jusham abhimanas sudiyal sadana. Let these thoughts of you, of your childhood, you spend the time with us. All that memories, what Krishna has performed, and all that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, let these thoughts keep coming. And that is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. When that smarana, when that memory is coming strongly, unimpaired by or without being disturbed by anything else, constantly it's coming, that is the liberated state of Krishna consciousness. There is nothing higher to go beyond than that. Great, great devotees who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam 70, 80 years in their life, analyzed it, scrutinized it, thought over it, read it, reread it, heard it, everything one could do, they have done that. And their conclusion is this, that this remembrance of Krishna constantly coming in the heart, all the time, uninterrupted, constantly flowing without being disturbed by anything else, no material world exists anymore after that for that person. It is only up to that point we experience this material world, the distress of the material world, all these transactions of the material world, everything finishes with that. And that is what we also have to pray to Krishna. When we think that we are doing so many things in the spiritual life, chanting, studying, reading, everything, ultimately this is the consciousness of a of a personality is like Gopis. Gopis' prayers is an indication of what a devotee's consciousness is after engaging in Krishna consciousness for life. And this stage is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. There is no talk about liberation. That is the beauty you have to think, see there. There is no talk about going to spiritual world. There is no talk about going to Golokam, Vaikuntham, or going to anywhere for that matter, or any opulences, or any other happiness. Nothing is mentioned. Gopis talk about this only one thing. Geham jushamavi manasudiyal sadanam. That continuously the memory of Krishna, let that come to us in all circumstances. When Gopi said this, tears came from Krishna's eyes. Krishna doesn't easily get emotional like that. But seeing that thoughts of Gopis, that purity in their heart, in remembering Krishna like this, Krishna has given them that agreement that it will happen like that. That is why even after when they came back from Samanda Panchakam back to Vrindavanam, nothing has shaken them or disturbed them. Radharani and the other Gopis continued that, and the same thing which later on Goswamis found out and put through their literature to us. So this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not moving on to another planet or moving somewhere else. No, Krishna consciousness is right now here in this world, in this body, attaining perfection. The impersonalists will call as Jivan Muktam or liberating themselves, liberated in this body. It's the same thing as a devotee is concerned. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. So these were the just few things to mention about from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the gopis. Now coming back to my travels, we went to another five major temples built by the Pandavas. When Pandavas were in the forest, when they had a great opportunity to discuss with Krishna many, many things. You will see in the Mahabharata that Krishna visited them regularly in the forest because they were his devotees. And Krishna would not allow them to suffer in any circumstances. So Krishna's visit was essential. Because Krishna was going there, all the great sages were also going there. Markandeya was there. Vedavyasa Maharshi was there. Vishwamitra was going there. So many great sages were visiting the Pandavas in the forest. Why? Because Krishna was also going there. It was an opportunity for them to see Krishna as well. This was the reason behind it. So in that visit, the Pandavas spent a lot of time in the forest. Krishna at one point handed over his own deity to each one of them for worshipping them, for worshipping. And all these Pandavas who received the deities from Krishna, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadeva, they built five magnificent temples for Krishna. And those temples still stand there. Exactly like the plight of the Adhikeshava and Padmanabha Swami temple, they still stand there. If you go and in one of the Pandava temples which are built, you will see there that in one of those locations, that is where Draupadi received her Akshayavatram. From Akshayavatram was given to her so that she could feed any amount of people who come to see her. That was the agreement. So you know that famous story of Akshayavatram. Everybody knows what happened to Draupadi and that famous Akshayavatram and how Krishna helped her when Durvasamani came to visit her, all that things. So this incident where it happened, Sahadev has built the temple of Krishna there. And the size of the temple, if you go and see, it's almost 8 acres that temple occupies. The buildings alone occupy 8 acres. And the massive prasadam halls and the facilities for the pujaris for worship and the courtyards and the facilities for kirtanam and lectures and so many things. And these temples are standing there for the last thousands of years. And today, if you go there, you see a few pujaris doing a very simple deity worship. But some of the things they still follow, because this was the temple where Draupadi received the place where Draupadi received the Akshayavatram. As a matter of respect for Draupadi, anybody who visits the temple will be fed free without asking for any donations. You'll be fed. So that is the system they followed. Why? They had to follow this because of this commitment to Draupadi. Draupadi has blessed the place that no matter what difficulties the temple may fall into, you can come, any visitor can come and take at least a prasadam there once and go away from there. And like this, these five temples are standing there. So I had also had a limited time to go and see them, gave me a lot of inspiration, understanding, and see, and same realization came to me when I saw from the other temples, particularly in relationship with the how situations can deteriorate in this world, that buildings won't do anything. Buildings will only work as long as the living force within the buildings, the devotees, are there. Devotees' consciousness, devotees' enthusiasm, devotees' desire for spiritual life. This is what keeps the temple going. Not the buildings and not the wealth, what we accumulate. Wealth and accumulation, so many big, big institutions in this world with a lot of wealth and a lot of buildings. But that's not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the devotees are the wealth of the temple. Nothing else. Devotees comes first before anything else. So, this is a lesson one could learn from these temples. Also, it gives you a reflection of the times of the past when so many devotees had time in serving Krishna, an opportunity when they were Krishna conscious, engaged in Krishna consciousness. So that is the few things what I was able to gather from these trips. And also had certain things, opportunity to talk to people who had a higher knowledge side, who understands Srimad Bhagavatam, and from them a certain understanding, like the distress. For example, who is there in this world without distress? There is nobody who can say that I have no distress. Everybody experiences different kinds of distress in this world. And that is the nature of the material world. Srila Prabhupada, even in this last BTG, you can see Prabhupada's conversation, he mentions there that the one who does not understand this, that this material world is full of distress, and even he is considered, he not even considered as a human being. That is, Prabhupada says there. Why? Because the reason is that the only a person who is thoughtful and who can analyze things can see these things. One who is not thoughtful about this and one who is simply being carried away by senses, he would not understand this. He thinks sense gratification is the only pleasure and that's what he is hankering after, and he thinks that whole happiness is centered around the five gross senses and the mind. But spiritual understanding is beyond than that, and therefore it's explained there that sense gratification is not the goal of life and the higher understanding. So in that process, one can see also that distress is a part of this this time in this material world. That will not leave you. That will go on with you all along. So when one has come to that understanding, that from that we learn that to free oneself from this distress, whatever that is one is experiencing, the goal is ultimately Krishna. And that goal, keeping that focused on Krishna, is the important thing. And the subtle forces that's working in this world, like time, like karma, these things are difficult to understand. Generally, when we say that sometimes we all have these problems, it's not that one person has this problem, other person doesn't have. We all have this problem. Like sometimes in spiritual life, we experience this, that some strong spiritual personality, a personality who has done spiritually very, very seriously, pursued the path of spiritual life, sometimes you see suddenly he experiences death in unfortunate circumstances. This is one example I'm saying. Unfortunate circumstances, suddenly one experiences death due to an accident or due to some unfortunate situation. Now, when somebody died in that condition, normally we have a tendency, ordinary people like us have a tendency to speculate. We'll start speculating. Look, you know that person? He deserves that, we will say. We'll say he has done so much nonsense. He has committed so many offenses. He deserves that death. Somebody will say like that. And somebody else will say, oh, no, no, he has done such a great personality he was. He has done so much that somehow or the other it happened, but he has gone back to the spiritual world. But he is not convinced himself about it. But still, they will say like that. People with some understanding. So, like this, different points comes up in spiritual life also. When these things happen, what should we do? This is the question. Because this is always happening in this world, right in front of us, front of our own eyes, it happens. And when that happens, a personality who has done a lot in spiritual life, who has done a lot of service to Krishna, Suddenly he experiences death in this world in a very unfortunate situation. At that time, our faith also starts wavering. We start thinking, is there something happening to us? Is our understanding right? And then we look for answers. We discuss. We ask people. All these things. So at these instances, it's necessary we need the help of those who have gone beyond this and who have gone beyond this limited understanding of us, what we have got. So in these questions I had to ask somebody, and I had a reasonably convincing answer that I was given was that when you start serving Krishna, different people have different abilities in their service to Krishna also, according to their qualifications, according to their proclivities, or according to their tendencies, they serve Krishna in different ways. But when you serve Krishna with amount of sincerity and dedication, commitment, if you serve Krishna over a long period of time, the loss of karma comes in there as well. This is the most important thing, how loss of karma comes in one's life, how powerfully they control us. And that is why Bhagavad Gita, we have to analyze it so much in depth. It's so important. Why? If you see the transcendental knowledge chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, there is one verse Krishna says there, karmano hya vibodhavyam bodhavyascha vikarmana akarmanascha bodhavyam ghana karmano gadi. What does that mean? Karmano hya vibodhavyam. Krishna says to Arjuna, karmano hya vibodhavyam. One should understand what is karma means. Bodhavyascha akarmana, bodhavyascha vikarmana. What does vikarma means? One should be conscious of that. Akarmanascha bodhavyam. One should understand what does akarma means. Gahana karmano gadi. Nobody understands, he says, the science of karma. Now, these three words, Krishna has meant so much in it. Gahana karmano gadi. How karma is controlling us in this world, Krishna says, it is difficult to understand. If when Krishna says something is difficult, it has to be really difficult, isn't it? That if we say something difficult, maybe somebody else can crack it. But when Krishna says something is difficult, it has to be difficult. That is why those three words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is carries so much weight in that. The meaning of that. Karmano hya vibodhavyam bodhavyascha vikarmana akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gadi. Gahana karmano gadi. Gahanam, it is so deep, Krishna says. Karmano gadi, the gadi of karma, is so deep, you cannot understand that. Krishna says that. So, from these three words, the scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam has found out that the certain things you can only explain in the light of karma, without which it is not possible. For example, if, as I mentioned, in the case of a spiritual personality, when he suddenly experiences death in a particular way, sometimes questions are asked, why did that happen? Why did that happen? I won't mention the name, you can guess yourself in your own mind. But why did that happen? The answer to that is that if we have served Krishna sincerely and very, very dedicated way, and you have placed spiritual master in Krishna, at some point in time, the credit of your pious activities goes to such an extent that Krishna decides that you cannot enjoy or you cannot experience those pious activities, credits in this particular material body, and Krishna demands a change of your material body immediately. And this is specifically the reason that in some instances we are actually perplexed, why did that happen? The verses in explanations to that is Pabi Shatayu Sukrdim Gedayu. For a Pabi, sinful person, he has to live in this body here for a long, long time and experience the distress in this world for a very long time. and rotting and eventually going through all distress what you can have in this world. That is the nature of our sinful life. Basically, human life is only two things. Karmam. Karmam is the whole thing that controlling pious activities and impious activities. Pious activities you enjoy, impious activities you suffer. This is the simple principle of the laws of karma. So this karma which is binding us, if that is purified to such an extent and it increases our pious creditness or the credit side of the pious activities, just like sinful life increases, our life in this suffering in this material world also increases. Exactly the same way, the opposite side is also true. That duty, if your service to Krishna, service to spiritual master, goes to such levels of recognition from Krishna, Krishna says that at that point, this material world is not good enough for you to live. You may be transferred into higher planets or to a higher position where you obtain another material body, another body where you should enjoy the results of your service to Krishna here. This is the progress in the path of spiritual life, where you get a higher opportunity, higher association, higher possibilities of advancing further in the spiritual path. Like this, Krishna says, Gahana karma no gadi. Nobody can understand the science of karma. Nobody understands. Why nobody understands why I'm saying that is, if you read Mahabharatam, who is the greatest personality who talks about karma there? Who is that great personality? That personality is Bhishma, isn't it? Bhishma talks about dharmam a lot. Dharmam is nothing but the technical side of karma. Because what karma to do in this world, what's the right karma to do, what's the wrong karma to do, you can come to that conclusion by knowing dharmam. Dharmam is the thread which controls this karma. So unless you know what is dharmam, what is adharmam, you cannot perform the right karmam or right unless you know karmam, akarmam, vikarmam, all these things properly, how do you separate it out? And that Bhishma, who spoke about dharma to Maharaj Yudhishthir in Bhishma Parvam, in Mahabharatam, you can read chapter after chapter, Bhishma is talking about dharmam and adharmam to Yudhishthir Maharaj. That Bhishma has failed in his dharma. This is what is more interesting. That Bhishma Pitamaha in the Mahabharatam is glorified for his knowledge, for his instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj, for what he has spoken about. So many things in the Mahabharatam he has spoken. And Bhishma has failed in his dharma. What was that dharma he failed? And who took note of that? Nobody else. The Supreme Personality, Krishna himself, noted that. In Mahabharatam, you will find that at one point the Kauravas were plotting against the Pandavas to destroy them. So in that plotting process, they have invited Pandavas to gamble, isn't it? That story is well known, that the gambling started. Maharaj Yudhishthira got involved in that. So many things, which everybody knows, these who read Mahabharatam can see all these things. But at the end, you will see there, that at one point, Draupadi was pulled into that. And it was very well planned by Dushasana, Karna and Duryodhana all together to disrobe Draupadi in the assembly of all the great personalities who were present there. And in that assembly, because Duryodhana and Dushasana particularly was involved in that, decided to pull Draupadi there and try to disrobe Draupadi. And Draupadi, whom did Draupadi look for help? Draupadi looked to Krishna for help. Krishna protected her. Yatvara Draupadi trane, yatvara gajarakshane, mayatve karunamote, satvara kugadahare. That is how Draupadi expressed. Yatvara Draupadi trane. When Draupadi was in distress, there was somebody who had an emergency to get there. Who was that? Krishna had that, felt that urgency to be there. So when Draupadi was in distress, Krishna felt the urgency to be there. When the elephant Gajendra was in distress, Krishna felt the urgency to be there. Isn't it? These are things you read in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So who protected Draupadi? The urgency one person felt, Krishna felt. and Krishna protected her. But Krishna noted one thing at that point. What was that? There was one person who could have stopped Dushasana from doing it. Who was that? Bhishma. Bhishma could have stopped that. Why? Because Bhishma is more powerful than any of them all put together there. He has proved that before. When Ambika and Ambalika were pulled out from Kashi, the king of Kashi's home, and brought them forcefully back to Hastinapur, all the kings all together started fighting with him. And Bhishma showed at that point what is a brahmachari means and how powerful Bhishma was. Isn't it? Nobody could match Bhishma in courage or valor or anything in that matter. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharatam is a proof that he told Arjuna that what is Arjuna for me? He asked to Arjuna himself. And Arjuna knew what he could do against Bhishma. Knowing all these things, this Bhishma, who had all the capacity to stop Dushasana from doing that, didn't do one word, didn't speak one word, didn't do anything to stop it. Just see how people can deviate from in the process of life in this world. You may know all dharma. You can tell others what is dharma, what is adharma, everything. When it came to action is concerned, Bhishma has failed. Krishna mentioned this and Krishna kept it in the mind. The result of that was what Bhishma had to repay in the form of lying on the bed of arrows for 58 days. It was because Bhishma has ignored this at the time when Draupadi wanted help. Because Bhishma knew what is dharma. Bhishma was capable of performing the dharma, executing the dharma. Didn't do it. Krishna says, you have to go through this. So, Gahana Karmano Gadi. Nobody can understand how karma works in this world. That Supreme Personality, Krishna, who has formed the laws of karma, who controls the time, through which controls all of us in the same way. Nobody can free ourselves from this. This is why the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, culturing this consciousness of Srimad Bhagavatam, is absolutely essential, so that one may not deviate or fall in, victimized by the influence of the karma. Karma and dharma goes together. Then dharma, unless one knows dharma, how can have the proper karma? Gahana karmano gadi. So three words was enough for Krishna to explain such complicated scenes behind what goes on in this world. So like this, there are so many things to talk about, but we will stop there today for 17 past 7. But we'll continue from Srimad Bhagavatam next week, the story of Lord Ramchandra. There is a lot of things in this Ramayanam also in the same way. Ramayanam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam, they are all teaching us certain fundamental things in life. If we adhere to those principles, it gives us the strength to push on in the spiritual life. So if there's any questions or comments, please.
How they got the
knowledge, understanding of the Yogis. Yes. Of course, we know that gopis were all great sages and women from the heavenly planets and highly elevated personalities. They also had the good fortune of associating with Krishna because they had got that association. And in the gopis' bodies, when they came, they were not aware that they were such personalities from the previous lives. But that good fortune followed them. And apart from that, they also had that, how to put it, the association with Krishna in such a way that they were able to direct that love towards Krishna in their life. And when one has succeeded in doing that, ultimately, that has purified them to that extent. And that purification, what has happened to them through this association with Krishna, has caused all these things. That perfection spiritual life they achieved just by associating with Krishna. You don't have to go into too detail into it, because the state of consciousness what gopis attained was so high that Krishna says there is nothing higher than that. You may be in this body or that body, another body, ultimately perfection has come to you. So no matter where you go, in what condition you are, the thoughts of Krishna is in the heart to such an extent that no more austerities or penances or studies or anything is required. Yes. The in the history, in different Puranas and Upanishads, Vedavyasa Maharshi has given stress to different things. For example, if you read Shiva Puranam, Lord Shiva is glorified there in a big scale. Skanda Puranam, Kartikeya is glorified in a big scale. Because sometimes Mahavishnu, Vishnu is worshipped in the material world. Vishnu is a representative of Krishna in the material world. Like the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma, they represent the three modes of nature in this world. When ordinary people study, they do not study scriptures. They just follow traditions. And sometimes, some people, they follow what their parents did, and then they pass on to their next generation as well. If you come across such people, they will always tell you what they heard from their father and mother. That's what they will tell you. And this causes sometimes difficulty, because when you are presenting Krishna consciousness to people, you have to present it on the strength of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And both Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita strongly confirms this point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In addition to that, every Acharyas are the authorities on the Vedic culture. For example, if you take Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka Swami, even modern times Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were all confirming that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have to go by the words of the authorities and by the words of the scriptures, not by the ordinary person in the world who come and mentions this, that, oh, Krishna is incarnation of Vishnu because he has heard it from his father or mother, or somebody else has mentioned to him like that. But Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't say that. So it's a question of discriminating properly what you hear. If you discriminate properly in the right way, then you will come to the right conclusion. Our tendency is normally, if 10 people tell us that Krishna is incarnation of Vishnu, and one person says Vishnu is incarnation of Krishna, the normal tendency is we go by the democracy, isn't it? We go with the masses. 10 people have told, so that should be the right one. It doesn't work like that. The right thing is what Shastra says, or what the Acharya says. That is the right thing. And all their conclusion is that they have their own vocabulary to explain all these things in Sanskrit terminology. Who is Krishna? Paripurna Tamam he is called. That means he is beyond our material calculations. Mahavishnu comes under material terminology, that he is representing the mode of goodness in this material world. Krishna is beyond all that. In the Golokam he lives. So that is the way to answer that question. There is nothing else you can do about it. They have to give up their family understanding and come to scriptural understanding, and then you can accept their versions. Let them show that Shastra says somewhere Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. Mahavishnu is actually one of the Krishna's many, many Vishnus in this many, many universes. In the, some of the pastimes in the Bhagavatam, you can see when Krishna takes Arjuna to Vaikuntha to bring the boys, the Brahmana, back home. You remember that story in the 89th chapter, I think. It's Nanagopalam story. You will find there when Mahavishnu saw Arjuna coming with Krishna, paid his obeisances to Krishna there. That proof is enough. Who is the boss? So you don't have to get doubtful about it by hearing from those people who have such a view on these things. No, what I was saying this was that it's not that we shouldn't build temples. We need temples. We need space also to do our different activities. But like here in Manor, we find struggling to do a few things. Everyone is, there's no place in the world which is utilized more than the Bhaktivedanta Manor. The way the activities goes on here, every room, every nook and corner, kitchen, everything is utilized to the 100% utility. So that brings you to the point that we need facilities also in the temple. What I'm saying is that no temple is complete if there is no devotees. Its devotees is the wealth of the temple. It is devotees, their life and their progress in spiritual life is what ultimately the goal is. Not building massive structures. You go to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami's temple is standing there, unattended, uncared for. Birds are nesting there. And and the whole temple, which has been 5 or 7 stories, which was Aurangzeb, has destroyed 2 stories. The balance is still standing there. Now, if that is what everything is going to end up with, what's the point in building it at the end? Rupa Goswami had good intentions. People will maintain it and look after it. But because of our influence of the material civilization, we have ignored people who are meant to look after them. They have ignored them. That's why it has fallen into this condition. And it can happen not only in Delhi, not only in Adiyeshwar, it can happen here, everywhere. It's the same thing has happened. But the point I'm trying to make is that unless the devotees and their participation in Krishna consciousness is always going on strongly, the temples are not of any worth. That's the only message. Yes. It's in the. I think it is in the. I'll give you the verse number later on. I can't remember what number it is. It is in the. I don't even remember which chapter it is. It is in that instance when Krishna invites everybody to Samanta Panchakam, Kurukshetram, for the solar eclipse. Related with that story. But I'll give you exact number, verse, and the chapter, everything. Yes, I can give you that now. I think Srimad Bhagavatam here. Okay, I'll write it down and give it to you. Let me have a look at it. Take time.